This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It's 12:03, Tuesday afternoon, March 12th. Good afternoon. Thanks for joining us on the Noon Business Hour. I'm Rob Hart. There's a new trend among tweens called Sephora Kids. It's sparking both excitement and concern. We'll cover that in our next segment. But first, paying taxes with the right credit card can yield a great return. Joining us with some need-to-know tips is Ted Rossman, senior industry analyst with Bankrate.com based in New York. Ted, thank you for joining us today. We're a little over a month away from tax day. And if you got around to completing your return and you have to owe, you do get that credit card option. So, Ted, what are some things you need to know if you want to pay your taxes via credit card?
The biggest thing to know if you're a rewards chaser is that there is a credit card surcharge assessed by the IRS's payment processing partners. There are three of them. It's either 1.82%, 1.87%, or 1.98%, depending on the company you choose. Those numbers are all important because a lot of credit cards are going to give less than 2% rewards. It may not be worth it. There are some cards that give 2%, like the Citi Double Cash and the Wells Fargo Active Cash. I feel like that's a minimal arbitrage opportunity if you're getting 2% in rewards but paying, let's say, a 1.82% fee. It might make sense if you're trying to hit a sign-up bonus threshold. You know, you have to spend $6,000 in the first 3 months with the card or something, and if you wouldn't hit that otherwise, well, maybe then that makes sense. But otherwise, I feel like I would like to put a little bit of a damper on the rewards chasing just because of the surcharge.
So some people who may be tempted to put their taxes, whatever they owe on their credit card, thinking, well, you know, I can always use the airline miles. Be very careful and make sure you read the fine print both on the IRS website and on your credit card agreement.
Exactly. And then the other side of this is the debt piece. I think that's maybe even more worrisome because the average credit card charges a record high 20.75%. So I get it if money is tight and you have to pay the IRS and you don't have the money on hand, but I wouldn't reach for the credit card. I think that's just a really high interest rate. A better approach might be to negotiate a payment plan with the IRS. They often make it easy to opt into this. There are some fees and interest. You could expect to pay something around 8%. So it's not zero, but it's not 20 or 25 or 30 either. Another time that a credit card could work is if you have a generous 0% promotion. Just make double sure that you can pay it off before that clock runs out, because that 0% credit card promo could turn into a 20 or 30% rate after the clock expires.
As something we've talked about many times on this program, if you are already behind the eight ball when it comes to credit card debt, your job is to find ways to reduce it and not add to it.
Yes, don't dig the hole any deeper, especially with something like a tax payment, which could run well into the thousands of dollars. I mean, I know it's an enticing rewards opportunity, but like we said, for most people, because of that processing fee, it's not going to be worth it. And then from a debt standpoint, I think that could really be a tough hole to dig out of. So there are some other things you can do. The IRS payment plan is a good one. You know, maybe the 0% credit card promo, if you're careful. Maybe also engage with a reputable nonprofit credit counselor. I mean, if you really feel like you're in trouble, you're falling behind, it makes sense to seek some assistance. And there are groups like Green Path and Money Management International that can help people with credit card debt and other financial issues like this.
Ted Rossman, Senior Industry Analyst, Bankrate.com in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up, a look at the latest trend among tweens, Sephora Kids.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
There's a new trend among tweens nationwide. It's known as Sephora Kids. Joining us to explain is Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor, based in New York. Bob, thank you for joining us today. And Sephora Kids is more of a catch-all phrase for teens and tweens who are really interested in skincare. It's not necessarily a brand name endorsement.
That's exactly it, Rob. It's really this phenomenon of particularly young women, 10 to 12, who are watching TikTok videos, and they are seeing all these fairly expensive moisturizers and unique things with retinol, which is great for old people but not good for young people. And they are going into Sephora and Ulta, and they're bypassing their talking to people who could actually help them make it in choice, and they're buying or putting this on their face, and it's ending up in acne and rashes and all sorts of things. So a lot of parents are noticing, and yet it has led to an increase in sales for the beauty brands because beauty's hot right now.
I was going to say, I am the father of a 10-year-old girl, and she and her 10-year-old friends are going through a little bit of a skincare phase. I did not know that that made her a Sephora kid, but apparently she does fit the description. And above and beyond the physical skincare issues is that a lot of this stuff is expensive. and if you have a 10-year-old who doesn't necessarily know about proportions or how much it costs to replace it, it could also do a dent to your household budget too.
Well, you know, this may be a relevant thing, but I was talking to a guy who runs a gun range, and he was talking about how his nephew came in. He goes, I want to shoot a gun. He's like, well, first we have to go through and explain how you use them and how you clean them and respect them. He's like, no, just let me do it. And that's kind of what we're doing here is you've seen a video. It's like, I don't want to have anyone to tell me anything. I've got my mom or dad's credit card and more is better. And they're still kids, aren't they, Rob? I mean, that's the problem.
We're talking
for your wife is not appropriate for a young person. In fact, it's counterproductive.
And a little bit, I mean, obviously there's a social media component to this, and you point out that there's TikTok influencers and YouTube shorts that talk about skincare products and what they can do for you. But is there also just a little bit of that age-old thing of kids just want to imitate their parents? And, of course, they see adults using these skincare products because we want to have the skin of a tween and we can't get there anymore. And they just want to imitate mom and dad.
I don't know anyone wanting to imitate their parents. I'm sorry. I think what it is they want to be popular because in one article I was reading, this one bought her daughter a vanity set so she could display all her high-priced cosmetics. And it's like, that's not it. It's this idea of, you know, maybe it's their version of a 59 Chevy or something. I don't know, that you're showing off. And ultimately you have to say, and where does that come from? Which means that they're not good enough. I think you have to look at body image and you have to look at you're being marketed to in a very, very sophisticated way because those influencers are they caring about your daughter? No, they're caring about what? They get the exposure and they get the hits and they get paid as that. So I think there's a lot. It's a great discussion to have and more than we have time for, but.
And then very quickly, Bob, is there a way to meet in the middle, though? Obviously, you have kids who are interested in this sort of thing, but are there introductory products that can get them in without breaking the bank or causing harm?
Well, I think certainly you could be talking about cleansers and those kind of things. But I think the key for me as the brick-and-mortar retail doctor is to say, go in there, parents, with your daughter to the store and have an associate explain it to them. That's all. The associates at Sephora and Ulta are great, but if you're going to let them just go free range, then they can get hurt, and we don't like that.
No, so. We do not. Bob Phibb, CEO of The Retail Doctor in New York, thank you for joining us today. Coming up next, major airlines, including Southwest, are rethinking their 2024 plans, citing issues with Boeing.
Your daily transaction for useful information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
U.S. airlines are expressing capacity concerns amidst ongoing Boeing delivery delays and safety issues. Joining us to discuss this problem, especially on its impact on Southwest Airlines, we welcome in Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Joe, thank you for joining us today. And Southwest announced it's rethinking its 2024 financial forecast because of these issues bedeviling the Boeing 737, the backbone of the Southwest fleet, and that it could cut capacity going forward because it may not have enough planes.
Well, it's beyond that, Rob. Southwest is not the 737s are not the backbone of Southwest fleet.
It is the fleet.
It is the fleet. And that's pretty much unique from any other airline. Even airlines that are all Boeing tend to have regional jets, things like that. So Southwest is in a unique position in that if the 737 lines stop, they get no new planes. The underlying factor here, though, Rob, that I think is worth considering is that domestic airline demand is actually slowing down. While we don't seem to be able to get enough of Europe and Asia and South America and the Caribbean, the demand for the number of seats that the airlines want to fly domestically is beginning to slacken off. So I think the airlines will be able to absorb this issue without a major fare increase, which is what we all mostly care about, when airlines start restricting capacity.
Now, these issues with Boeing, I mean, they've been multifold over since January, when you had the Alaska Airlines blow out the plug door, blowing out on that 737 that took off from Portland and then returned to the airport. Now you have misdrilled holes, you have loose bolts. What does this mean for an airline industry that is really, on the domestic side, come to rely on the 737 almost exclusively?
Well, the problem, the unique problem with these with this door jam thing plug is related to capacity, actually, because Boeing wanted to come up with a way to sell one type of airplane, the 737, across any kind of demand the airlines have. So they invented this bizarre thing. I have to admit, I hadn't heard of it until the door plug blew out, that said, OK, if you really want to stack your plane full of seats, we'll create a spot where you'd have an extra door exit to meet federal requirements for evacuation and such. So even that, even the messiness with the door, has to do with how much capacity the airlines thought they wanted to inject into the system. The other problem is there's only two people who make airplanes in the entire basically in the entire world. The Russians make a plane, the Chinese try to make a plane. But basically, the world's airlines rely on Airbus and Boeing. And Airbus, for the equivalent plane, which is called the A220 now, is at capacity. You couldn't buy, you know, unless you were willing to take some other airlines' planes and pay them a lot for what they call the delivery positions. Airbus has no planes to plug in place of the 737s, even if the airlines wanted to buy them.
Oh, for the days of the MD-80 and the MD-88 in domestic markets. Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher of JoeSentMe.com, based in New York. Thank you for joining us today. Still ahead in Travel Tuesday, is an Airbnb or a hotel the right lodging for your next trip?
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Good afternoon. I'm Rob Hart. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM. Cook County Health is warning patients and visitors about 2 potential measles exposures at its facilities. Special Counsel Robert Hur being questioned on Capitol Hill about President Biden's classified documents and his assessment of the president's mental state. And it's Travel Tuesday. We'll be discussing what to consider before you rent an Airbnb. WBBM Business. Markets are higher. The Dow is up 150 points. The NASDAQ is up 169, and the S&P 500 is up 39. 63 degrees right now under cloudy skies at Midway Airport. It's 12:31. Topping our news at the half hour, Cook County Health notifying patients and visitors about potential measles exposures within its facilities connected to 2 of the Chicago cases. February 27th, officials say a patient with measles-like symptoms went to the Stroger Hospital emergency room after their test came back positive a week later. A separate patient went to the Arlington Heights Health Center on March 7th and tested positive after having similar symptoms. Anyone who is at either of the locations on either day should contact the Chicago Department of Public Health. We're talking February 27th at the Stroger Hospital Emergency Room and then again March 7th at the Arlington Heights Health Center. The transcript of President Biden's 5-hour interview with the special counsel about classified documents back in October made public this morning. The release happened just as Robert Hur went before the House Judiciary Committee to face questions about his investigation into the Democratic president. In his testimony, Hur says his investigation found that President Biden did keep classified documents at his home in Delaware, but could not say whether it was intentional.
We did not, however, identify evidence that rose to the level of proof beyond a reasonable doubt. Because the evidence fell short of that standard, I declined to recommend criminal charges against Mr. Biden.
Hur devoted most of his report to explaining why he did not believe the evidence against Biden met the standard for criminal charges, partly due to the length of the interviews. The report, which was released in early February, was controversial in and of itself because Hur made some assessments about President Biden's memory and mental acuity. It's 12:32 as the noon business hour continues. Markets are higher. Joining us with the latest on what's moving Wall Street is Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk, based in Chicago. Michael, thank you for joining us today. Markets are higher today, despite the fact that there are some signs that inflation may be heating up once again.
Yeah, Rob, thanks for having me on. Good afternoon. The report that came out, it did show that their inflation is definitely still a factor. But bond prices are going down, yields are going up in the 10-year and a lot of the long-dated debt, government debt. So that's the reaction. But the market continues to rally because the market believes that these numbers, while still showing there's inflation, it's not a crisis situation as it was. So we have a small change in long-term rates, but the stock market is not selling off. The fear of more rate hikes seems to be zero right now, and that's why this report doesn't cause stock markets to sell off. So, you know, you have a small sell-off in the bond market, but the stocks are saying, you know what, it's not anything to worry about. The Fed is going to remain neutral for the next year, which is what we think anyway. Some people are calling for rate reductions end of the year. I don't think that's going to happen. And this report would tell me that, again, that I'm probably right here, because there's not going to be enough data saying that that they're going to be able to lower rates anytime soon, but I just think they're going to just stay neutral for a while.
And this is the first in a series of reports on prices. The next one is the PPI, how much wholesalers are paying. And, of course, the one the Fed pays attention to, the PCE, the Personal Consumption Expenditures Report, which comes out later this month and typically is a lot cooler than the Labor Department reports.
Yeah, it has been, but, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But, you know, they do say that they use that report at the Fed, they being the Fed, more. But they look at the totality of information. They look at inflation. They also look at the job market. And everything right now is pointing towards, yes, things are a little bit hotter than we want them, but they're not at any kind of level that we'd have to raise rates further. And that's what I think we'll continue to see for a while in these reports. And then I think inflation will cool down just a bit more, but it will not allow the Fed to lower rates. I think that's the next surprise the market will get, is that they won't get a lowering of any rates this year. That's a prediction I expect to be right on, that the market appears to be wrong on. But we'll have to see, and we'll have to see how the year plays out. I still think we can continue this rally without rate reductions, but we certainly cannot if the Fed has to start raising rates again. So we'll have to see on that, but I think the Fed just stays neutral the whole year.
The National Federation of Independent Businesses, the small business summary, showed a lot of doubt starting to creep back into small business owners, and they're talking about how their confidence is starting to wane just a little bit, hitting their index hitting numbers that we have not seen since June of 21.
Yeah, well, small businesses are not doing that well right now, and they haven't for a while. Through the Biden administration and even before that, it doesn't appear that government is worried about small businesses as much as they are big corporations, which have easier profit margins than the small guys do. So these inflationary numbers don't affect the big guys as much. So, yeah, you have a mom-and-pop restaurant. You're struggling right now because you have to raise your prices to pay the wages of your workers and for the higher cost of commodities, and hope that consumers continue to come in. So that doesn't surprise me. That can continue, but without the market pausing. The stock market can continue to rally because, remember, that is a gauge of the largest corporations. It has nothing to do with small businesses. So that's what I think we're going to see, is a separation, a bifurcation of the two, between small businesses still struggling, but big businesses starting to thrive.
Michael Palumbo, founder of MJP Capital, author of the book Calculated Risk in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Coming up next in Travel Tuesday, considerations before renting an Airbnb.
Investing 60 minutes each weekday for planning for the future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Travel Tuesday on the Noon Business Hour, and today we're talking about things to consider before renting an Airbnb. Joining us with some key advice is Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief of SheBuysTravel.com, based in Chicago. Cindy, thank you for joining us today. And I guess this is a very timely thing to think about, and that is you should probably wonder if there are actually security cameras inside the Airbnb you're going to rent.
Well, it's kind of a creepy thing to think about, isn't it? But it's only one of the things, frankly, that you want to think about when you're deciding where you're going to stay. I found that it's very much sort of an under 35 crowd. They default to booking an Airbnb, and an over 35 crowd probably defaults to booking a hotel room. And I think there's times that each one is the right answer. For example, I always book an Airbnb when we do our annual college roommate reunion, because we all get to be in the same big house, but we all have our own rooms, our own space. We come together for meals and fun and enjoy that kind of thing. But, you know, but if you're at a resort, you might want a hotel instead because everything's there. Or if you're going to arrive late at night, I never want to check into an Airbnb my daughter was just in Airbnb in Bogota and got there. Her plane was delayed. She didn't get there till 11 o'clock at night. She couldn't get in. She couldn't reach the owner of the Airbnb. And, you know, it all worked out. But it was some scary moments for her.
Now, I have not utilized Airbnb on international travel. But there was a time, especially when our kids were younger, the Airbnb is pretty attractive, an attractive option compared to a hotel. The price was the same. You got more space. And because you were detached, I mean, the kids were a lot younger and there was still some crying at bedtime. And you didn't have to worry about waking up your hotel room neighbors if they were having a hard time going to bed.
Well, and you get privacy, right? You had your own bedroom. So, or the kids had their own bedroom too, probably. So you could stay up and, you know, chat with your wife and have your own time and your own space. So there's a lot of arguments for an Airbnb. We've rented them in lots of sort of one-off situations. Once had a 10-hour layover in Berlin. So we found the place closest to the airport and we booked it for 6 hours to get a nap before we continued on our international flight. So there's a lot of good reasons to book an Airbnb. But I think the ones you want to be careful about are knowing what your neighborhood is. I think, you know, and there are ways to check that. You want to look online and get all the information you can about the place where the Airbnb is. I think knowing the local language, if it's an international booking, so that you can get help if you need it. I think, you know, this camera thing is, like I said, it's super creepy to think that somebody's going to be spying on you in your rental. I mean, there are even ways to know whether there are cameras in your rental. You can, you know, look and see what's connected to the Wi-Fi besides your device. So there's some things you can do to protect yourself. But I think there are times when, no matter how old you are, there's times when it's more appropriate to book a hotel for safety reasons, to have access to a front desk and all the help that you might need. And there's times to book an Airbnb because you want the space but privacy.
One thing I noticed about booking an Airbnb was that 2020 was a real turning point, that people wanted a socially distant vacation option during that COVID summer, and everybody flocked to Airbnb. As a result, prices went up considerably and stayed there. Is that still the case?
You know what? It depends. There are many places where Airbnbs are comparable to a hotel. There are some places where it's actually less expensive to book an Airbnb. It depends on where you're going, depends on how much competition there is. It depends on what the local communities have done in terms of the requirements that they put on Airbnb, who they can rent to and things like that. So I think it's always smart if you're a price-conscious traveler to look for Airbnbs and then to see what the comparable hotel options are. If it's just a place to sleep at night, it might be better to book a hotel.
Cindy Richards, editor-in-chief, SheBuysTravel.com in Chicago. Thank you for joining us today. Join us at this time tomorrow for Personal Finance Wednesday. And still to come, alarming security flaws in cameras and doorbells leave homes vulnerable.
Discussing the news affecting your money, the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Security cameras and smart doorbells are raising red flags with major security flaws, leaving homes vulnerable to hacks and privacy breaches. Joining us with tales is Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago. Jerry, thank you for joining us today. And if there's any lesson I think we have learned from the proliferation of smart devices, whether it's refrigerators attached to the internet or smart doorbells or security cameras, and that is, if it's attached to the internet, it is another way for someone to get into your home.
Absolutely.
And when we talk about these smart doorbells and these security cameras, I mean, everybody has a Ring nowadays. And what is the larger security threat to you if you have these cameras? Is it a malicious actor breaking into your home network via those cameras? Or, and in the case of a woman who had the customers of a security camera company, a technical accident exposing your private images to other people?
Yeah, that seems to be the biggest risk right now, is usage of those devices for the malicious actor's own benefit, right? Whether it is listening to the people at your front door, looking through your cameras, And people go, well, that might be a nuisance. But no, this is a real physical security issue, because if you're not home and they gain access to your device, they can get in, right? So it's a way for hackers to gain personal information about you as to your location, what you're doing, and how you're doing it. So it is a very scary thing, because people are actually having their personal environment invaded.
Now, what can you do? Let's say you like the peace of mind from having these cameras. You like the fact that you can remotely see who's knocked at the door, if that package actually showed up, things like that. What can you do to keep yourself safe, even outside of just getting rid of the cameras entirely?
Sure. The main thing is to stay with the large provider. While Ring did have some issues in the last year, they were resolved rather quickly, right, because they are a large company and they have the staff to do that. So make sure you're staying with a name brand, somebody who has access. Now, the other thing is, if you're with the name brand but you never update your system, it doesn't really help. So with your Ring devices and all of the cameras that are out there, you have the ability to go check for new firmware, right? Many of them actually will go on and update themselves automatically. But minimally, you have to go out and update that firmware, because when they do find a bug, that's when they're going to update it, and that's going to keep you from getting hacked.
Jerry Irvine, CIO of Prescient Solutions and member of the U.S. Secret Service Electronic Crimes Task Force in Chicago, thank you for joining us today. If you missed any part of the Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the Odyssey app.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.